Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to this edition of The Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR. It is Thursday, Friday Eve, coming to you live from Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. It is a loaded weekend this week. You can call it the Masters if you want. I'll call it the Tiger Woods Invitational. As I heard someone say the other day, Tiger moves Neil. The follow-up person said, no, Tiger is the Neil. And if you are looking at the Masters right now, everything is about Tiger. So we'll talk about that. We'll get into that. Listen, it's rare that you root for a person who isn't the underdog, but they are the underdog because of all he's been through. So we will get into that for sure. It is opening day. It is my favorite day of baseball. Absolutely love opening day. Everyone, baseball is a sport. Everyone has hope. Everyone thinks their team is going to go 162-0. So today is the day it all kicks off. Yes, I know yesterday was technically supposed to be opening day, but bad weather back east, that's how you start the season. Bad weather back east, instead of doing a dome team or a West Coast team to start the season, they want to go East Coast. Baseball being baseball. The Suns have clinched. I will tell you why I think the Suns are the most impressive team in basketball, even though they lost yesterday. I will get into that. LeBron James doing his undertow what-if talk, his what-if speech, what if he played here. Just remember nothing else. If you remember nothing else, this sums up the L.A. Lakers and the LeBron James season.
I mean, they pretty much just kicked their asses. I mean, there's nothing else really to say.
That sums up the season. We'll talk about that a little bit. We're not really getting into the NBA playoffs predictions until next week, until Monday when everything is set. That'll be Monday and Tuesday. We have the one and only Michael Caracciolo joining us about 20 minutes after the hour. And, yes, I will open up phone lines today at 917-889-7828. Enough of me. Let's get this bad boy rolling. Like I said, we're at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, 4991 South Alma School in Channel Heights. Come on in. Check it out. Become an active club member. Get your member to get your access to the members' lounge. Cool place to sit, relax. The Masters on every television in here. So come down and check it out. They do have all the packages, so you'll be able to watch baseball, watch your favorite team play. Great place. Wrap it up, become a member. There's no issue still. Plenty of relaxed spots. Sit, watch the games, enjoy your stick. They do serve beer and wine, so you can get your adult beverage on all at the same time. If you can't make it down there, no issues. Just go to Stogie World, StogieWorld.com. Order early enough in the day. It will ship out the exact same day. Remember, though, when you come in, let them know the PLR sent you. They'll take 10% off of your cigar purchase. All right, everyone, let's get this bad boy going. I do see a caller on the line. Thank you for your patience. First time I've opened up the phone lines, too, in about a week or two. So let's go. Let's see what we have. Thanks for holding this.
Hey, Paul, how are you?
It's my man, Lou. How are your Yankees going to do, buddy? I was thinking about you.
You know, it's soon to say, you know, first game of the year. It's always tough to know. You know, I don't start taking really predictions until, like, after the last week of May when you separate the men from the boys. But I will say that I do feel sorry for those of you in Detroit and Baltimore because your season's already over anyway. Oh, boy.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, you come out the gate fire. Look, I can tell you something. The Diamondbacks are going 162-0, Lou.
Again? You said that last year.
Yeah. 162-0. I may say something different tomorrow, but as of today, they're 162-0.
You know what would be interesting? You know what would be interesting? If they went 162-0 and got ousted in the first round of the playoffs. Wow. That'd be something.
Wow. You're firing on all cylinders today. What are we doing to you down here in Arizona?
Oh, that desert heat. It came east. Oof. Awful.
No, man, I'm really looking forward to it. I'm looking at all the stuff going on, all the teams, all the moves. There was a lot of moves this offseason. I'm anxious to see how it all pans out. Some divisions, it almost looks like they're won or lost already just by who they're rolling out. But I'm really anxious for this season. There are certain teams that are really on my radar to watch. The Atlanta Braves are one.
That worries me a bit.
But you know what? He came back, and did they replace him? We could say that they did. So we'll find out.
I wonder how many times Acuna's going to get hit by a Marlin this year.
Yeah, well, you know what? According to I don't know if you saw this article, but there was an article out on the Four Letter that Coley Harvey wrote, and he's a good friend of mine, and it said that Ronald Acuna Jr. said there was some rifting between teammates and Freddie Freeman, and
yes, I heard
that you know that he's not really going to be missed.
I heard
he went as far as to say nothing. He's going to miss nothing, so that's going to be interesting.
Well, what was it all about, though?
Personalities, clashes. Clashes.
All that
so,
thing. Well, that's real life, though.
So, yeah.
You think people in the same office are getting along with their coworkers? You got to be kidding.
No. You don't have to like someone to be able to do your job with them.
No.
So,
I mean, but, you know,
I think
they did win a World Series with each other. I mean, I think there might have been some joy in Mudville, but I guess not.
Yeah, well, remember, Acuna was out during that time because he was hurt. That's when everyone thought the season was going to end when he got hurt, but he's still recovering from his ACL injury anyway. So we'll find out more. We'll find out more today how he
– I'm sure.
And I like it. I'm telling you the truth. I like it. I don't always want to hear kumbaya. I want to know what's going on.
Yeah.
So
do I.
That should be interesting.
Yeah.
There
is one thing I don't think we covered on last week. I know you really don't really follow it, but guess what? We're going to the World Cup.
Yes, even with the 2-0 loss.
Ah, big deal. We need to lose by 6. And if we did, we still just had to play in a playoff game. We qualify there. There was a 98% chance that we were going to the World Cup anyway. So this is just mainly a formality.
Yeah, it was. There is something I did want to ask you too. Do you remember? I know that we didn't talk about this. Do you remember when I said to you that once the city of New York pissed off the Yankees, that the mask would be lifted, the mask mandate would be lifted?
Yes.
You see, there's no way the Yankees were going to roll out opening day if they weren't fully, their roster wasn't fully open to them. So
I go back,
and I will always say this, Lou, if it affects the Knicks and the Yankees, something will be done. If it affects the Nets or the Mets, no one really gives a crap.
Not true. I think Mets fans do care more than the Nets.
Not the fans.
I mean, the Mets,
not the fans, the city. The city politicians.
Oh, the city's different. The city,
Yeah. They'll move for the Yankees and the Knicks. They're not moving for the Nets. I find that hilarious.
Well, I'm not surprised because, the Nets are basically, they're still, New York is only in the city has only, adopted them. Their real home was New Jersey. So I can understand the animosity towards that. That's why they don't really care. because, you know, they lost the Meadowlands. They had to play in a dive for a couple of years, namely that dive in Newark, and then they came over to Brooklyn. But they'll never accept them as one of their own. Never.
Right. Right.
Now, as for the other team, well, I don't. As the Mets, I mean, because, you know, the Mets had quite a following, especially back in the 80s, so there was a time when they did care. But since they've been lousy for the better part of the last 5 to 7 years, like, who cares?
Well, I'm going to ask you to do this because it's the opening day. I want you to take all of your love for the Yankees out of this question, okay?
Okay.
What team will go to the World Series from the American League?
I'm gonna go with the American League East. And as much as I hate to say it, but I think it's gonna be the Braves.
Really?
Yeah. Braves give us a tough battle. Toronto's not there yet. They're not there yet.
Well, that's National League. The Braves are National League. Who do you have
I said Toronto. I said the Blue. No, I meant
Toronto. Okay. Gotcha. And then in the National League, you're coming back with the
Dodgers.
With the Dodgers. Okay. I can see that.
I mean, what was the Braves loss? I think it's going to be the Dodgers game. Sorry, guys. But that losing Freeman, that might cost you.
Yeah, I agree with you. I agree with you on the Dodgers. And the thing with the Dodgers, you already know this, they're still going to spend money. It doesn't matter to them. They're still if something happens and they need to go out and get another pitcher or they need to go out and get a utility guy, they'll go out and spend the money.
Right.
So I can totally see that. In the American League, my heart says go with the White Sox. But Lance Lynn out, I'm still not in love with the whole pitching. To be honest with you, I'm not really in love with the pitching with the Yankees either. My dark horse, a team that could actually make some noise, I'm going to either go with Tampa or the Angels. I think this is a year that the Angels can finally keep everyone healthy, you know, and how health goes. It's all speculation. We're prospecting. But I can see one of those two teams.
It's possible. I mean, but the AL Central has always been kind of weak. You know,
well,
that's what
good. That's good. That means the White Sox have a chance. I'm glad you said that.
Yeah, but who wants to see a weak division?
I don't care about the division. Get my team in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Self-serving, Lou. Self-serving.
Mm. Maybe.
That's how I look at it. That is how
I look at it. Yeah. Well, maybe you're dying to have a better year this year, though, because last year,
terrible. Last question before I have to jump for Mike.
Yeah.
How do you think Tiger does this weekend? How do you think Tiger will do this weekend? Make the cut, miss the cut?
Tiger will make some noise, but I think he's going to come up a little bit short.
But you think he makes the cut?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so do I. So do I. I'm not sure on that one. I definitely think he makes the cut. What I think, too, is if say he makes a cut and he's starting Saturday and he's, say, 3-4 under and the leader is only 6-7 under, it's a whole lot different when Tiger chases me.
Yes.
A whole lot different with Tiger bleeding on
you. But age and injury catches up with all of us, though, Paul. That's the thing.
You speak for yourself with the age.
And
I'm not going to sign it, Matt. All right. I'll give you that one.
All right, my
friend. Got to jump for my guy. I know you're going to watch the Yankees tonight.
Right.
So go Yankees for you.
Yankees play tomorrow. They got rained out today, but thanks.
Oh, that's right. They got the Red Sox, right?
Yeah, they got the Dead Sox.
All right. All right, buddy.
Until we talk again, Paul.
All right, Lou. Talk to you later. Lou always refers to the Red Sox as the Dead Sox. Hilarious. Absolutely hilarious. Listen, we're going to come back. got the one, the only Michael Caratulo ready to go. We'll be right back to Skin Show PR.
Don't just smoke your cigar, enjoy your cigar at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School. That's on the corner of Alma School in Chandler Heights. There's numerous TVs for viewing while you smoke your cigar, or better yet, become a club member and enjoy the member lounge. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco.
You never know what you'll hear on The Cave Show.
Here's the bottom line. If people were having great sex, we'd have world peace.
You know, one day I was riding around with a friend, and the alarm on my watch went off. And I turned to my friend and I said, "Hey, shut up. Because I need to listen to The Cave Show with PLR.
Welcome back to The Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR coming to you live from Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. And make sure you're checking us out on social media as well. At the Sports Cave, Caves with the K on the Twitter, the Instagram, and the Facebook. You also get me directly on the Twitter at the Sports Cave. And also keep in mind, we are on iHeartRadio as well as Spotify. Just make sure you're following the Cave Show as brought to you by the Sports Cave. Remember, Cave is always with a K. So, got Mike lined up ready to come on, but before he does, I want to just talk about a couple of things. So this I found really funny. So LeBron set this thing up on his show, and it was a question that was asked, but I believe that if it's on his show, The Shop, he knows all the questions, there's no surprises. And he talked about guys he wanted to or would like to play with. And one of the names that popped up was Steph Curry. And LeBron joked that, you know, you got to start guarding this guy. Second steps on the court, from half court, from the parking lot, when he wakes up that morning. Well, they played that back for Steph, and Steph was very, you know, complimentary and respectful. He said, of course, whenever, you know, one of the greatest to ever play, compliments you like that, it's always an honor. But he ended it by saying, "But now I'm good where I'm at." Let me tell you something. The Warriors are not going to bail the Lakers out. They're not. There's speculation, rumors that I heard from talking heads or whatever, that, you know, the Lakers would be more than willing, if it was something LeBron really wanted, you know, to move him for a Wiggins and a Poole and a, all these people. The Warriors aren't going to do that. I honestly believe that was a whole bunch of just talking for the sake of talking. That's not going to happen. The Lakers are a mess. It's a mess that they created. And it's easy to say, well, LeBron wanted this person, LeBron wanted that person. Ownership and management has signed off on that. Don't forget that. And I think it's been hard for every organization up to this point to tell LeBron James no. He wanted Westbrook traded for John Wall and that first round draft pick in 2027. The Lakers are not going to move off any other assets. They're not going to do it. They would be willing to part with Westbrook, but not if they have to attach their last number one pick. It's not going to happen. So they're going to have to find someone who can match up to the $47 million that Westbrook is going to make. So it'll be players, because he will be set to be the highest paid player in the NBA next year. So they'll need to move players. Teams aren't going to give them expiring contract dudes. So the Lakers are going to have to take on some bad contracts for people they don't necessarily want to get out of this mess that they got themselves in. I remember when Magic took over and we heard how bad of a GM he was and what did he do, and he couldn't really find this or get this free agent to come there, that free agent. What Magic did was he turned the Luol Deng contract and then turned him out. I can't even remember how to pronounce his name. The big dude that played in Cleveland. He turned those contracts into Brandon Ingram, Julius Randle, Lonzo Ball, Josh Hart. he turned those bad contracts into good young players that the Lakers then sent all out to bring in AD. And if we're being honest, the one thing AD isn't being, when he said injuries is what sidetracked them. I am really tired of hearing about how it was injuries. Because you can't tell me two things and make them both make sense. You can't tell me how great LeBron was and how he carried the team when they didn't go anywhere. At 29 points a game, it takes more than scoring. Got to play some defense sometimes. But I keep hearing injury, 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 injury. But when I look at the standings and I look at some of these teams, didn't they have injury issues? San Antonio was actively trying to miss the playoffs, and they're in the play-in game. Golden State has been without Jamal Murray all year. Michael Porter Jr. early in the year. And they're still, right now, a six seed. Still right now, a six seed. That's injuries. The Dallas Mavericks started the year with Porzingis out a lot. Still had Luka, down Tim Hardaway Jr., injury. Guess what? They're the fourth seed. Golden State has played this year without Klay at points, without Draymond for stretches, without Steph Curry. They're still the number three seed. Memphis has missed Ja Morant for a lot of the season, the number two seed. And the Pelicans have played all year without Zion Williamson in the play-in game. We're supposed to give the Lakers an out because of injuries? No. No. And do not blame Vogel for all this. When you gave him the proper weapon, they played defense. This runs a lot deeper than that. They need to figure out who's running the team. Is it Pelinka? Is it LeBron? Is it Genie? Is it Magic? Is it Kurt Rambis? Is it Kurt's wife? Where does the buck stop? Who's actually in charge? Who actually makes the final decision? I think that's what the problem is. The Lakers as a brand will always be the Lakers. Too many people trying to make decisions. Why does Linda Rambis have a vote in the room? I thought Magic stepped down as GM. Why does he still have a vote in the room? And if all these people have a vote in the room, what exactly does Rob Pelinka do? So they're a whole different kind of mess. A whole different kind of mess. Well, with that said, we're going to talk about this. We're going to talk about the Kansas Jayhawks, especially because of Remy Martin. But I'm not doing that alone. There's only one person I can do that with. You know him. The one and only Michael Caratenuto. What's up, buddy? Welcome to the game show.
Man, it's good to be with you. Sorry, I was arguing with people that don't understand the sun, so my apologies. But I'm here, and it is good to see that the number one seed I said would be first to be bounced from the tournament wins the title.
Well, did we give the proper congratulations to ASU for winning the NCAA title? Because it was Remy Martin that bailed Kansas out. So is that a de facto ASU win? Can we claim part of it?
Oh, I mean, you know, I recall in the beginning of the season you saying how it was a little tough for Remy Martin, and he had to adjust to Kansas, and he wasn't, one of the same team. But, yeah, I mean, you know, we'll take a Sun Devil, a former Sun Devil winning the title. I mean, obviously – to overstate the obvious, I should say. We would rather have it here. But, no, man, look, he played good down the stretch. He played a good tournament within their system, and they had the dudes to do it. I was hoping for our good buddy Ed Smith that the Tar Heels would have won.
Yeah, no, you know what though, they overachieved, and I think they get a lot of kudos. I honestly think the second half of that game, their legs were done. And I think that goes back to the game we played with Duke, because that was such an emotional game. And I think that they just didn't have enough gas left.
See that a little bit. I just think, you know, we always hear the other side of the argument, like, oh, they're, you know, 18, 20 years old, you know, most maybe. And, you know, they're not going to be tired. But, Kansas calmed down. They made shots. They made the shots that we all saw. Down the stretch, and in Carolina, yeah, I mean, their legs made it a little bit done, and it always goes to my point. And in college, I mean, I know you see it was not a huge rotation because, again, what guys, you know, are developed, how long you can have them, you know, for practice, obviously all those guidelines. But, I look at it and think that Kansas ended up, you know, playing the long game. I mean, they had to come back. You know, I thought maybe coming back from a 15-point lead at the half, you know, I'm like, well, if they do come back, they'd be the ones that would be drained. And they just, I mean, again, kept going. But, I mean, you need to have, and I sort of see before, you're in the NBA, you need to have more than a you know, seven-man rotation. You need, in my opinion, if you want to succeed at that highest level, even with younger guys, you need eight, because to your point, it makes sense. Legs could have been gone. It is an emotional win against Duke in the Final Four. Obviously, you know, your rivals, and it's a close game. You're back and forth. And, you know, to your point, I guess they rode that adrenaline huge in the first half, but then crashing back down, and there was some questionable. And some of the shots, you know, I think the rush shots in the second half, as Kansas started to come back as well.
So I think we found the way that ASU can win college basketball titles. Everyone just go in a portal and leave. I think that's how you do it. You come and play here for 3-4 years, or if you're Kamani Lawrence, you play for 7, and then you use your last year of eligibility, and you go to transfer portal, and that's how you get your title. Is that the new way?
Wow. You know what? I'm just going to let you have your moment, because you're just being mean. You know, it's April. You know, the Suns are doing good. And, you know, you're just mean. It's all right, though. It's all right. We still love you. You're just being mean to ASU. But I'm not gonna fall for debate. I'm not going to yell at my friend here. It's okay. You're entitled to your bitterness. But come on, man.
No, I'm not. But you know what, though? I'm kidding aside. I just think Remy Martin was a really good kid. Interviewing him while he was here.
Oh, absolutely.
Always nice. Always respectful. Good kid. And you know, when you don't have a horse in a race, you kind of root for someone that you know. And he was such a good kid, man. I don't know where he goes from here next level-wise, but I do know that, you know, he gave ASU everything he had. He never slacked. He played hard. He tried his best to get him to win. So kudos to him for finding that ring out the door.
Right. No, I mean, absolutely. Again, and it's, you know, they're always going to be, you know, the fans that are bitter and say, oh, they should have stayed here, you know, blah, blah, blah. But it's, yeah, I mean, the kid, like I said, anytime you talk to him, always, you know, even when things are down, you know, try to, you know, push the team forward. And, I mean, yeah, you know, battle with, you know, COVID and that issue, I mean, it can wear on anybody, especially when you're out of your, you know, normal routine, as we all saw what COVID did. So it's good to see him win. And leave college with that. You're right. I mean, what's next? I mean, possibly Europe. I mean, if he wants to, and to your point, though, I mean, we know he's got the work ethic in him. You know, maybe if he does end up with a team in the, you know, in the G League, how far does he push that? Main as options, you know, could he go play in Europe? I think absolutely. But you know, he might. He's definitely got that drive in him. You and I know that. I mean, like you alluded to. So I think, you know, maybe if he has to push with the with the G League for a little bit, I think it wouldn't be, you know, could he get up and see some minutes with the team, you know, depending on injuries and how he improves or keeps growing? I mean, it's a possibility, but I think, I mean, to your point, probably suited for Europe.
Yeah. excuse me, I do want to jump to the pros online with me. The one that only Michael Caratino, I believe, in Pac-12 basketball. So the Suns clinched the other night with their best record ever as a franchise. And at the same time, they put the Lakers out of their misery. So we were able to
Pretty much just kicked their ass. I mean, there's nothing else really to say.
So every time I can go back and hear, you know,
they pretty much just kicked their ass. I mean, there's nothing else really to say.
I'm always going to take joy in that. But the Suns impressed me, and I teased this a little earlier, the Suns impressed me more last night than they did on Monday. And here's why. They sat everybody last night. No Book, no Aiden, no Paul, no Crowder, sat them all. I look up, and they're down like 38 points. So they could mail that in. I mean, you've got your bench players in, your second stringers, hell, your third stringers, hell, your half, you know, if it was a transfer portal in the pros, the dudes that'll be in the transfer portal were in the game. And then you look back up, and they score 48 points in the last quarter and make it a game and only end up losing by four. I'm impressed with that because here's a team that's won 63 games. They're already set. They can't do any better. They can't do any worse. I want them to get 64 because that'll make me right. So I'll have 64 wins. So deep down, I want them to get 64. But they could have mailed that game in. That bench could have said, you know what? We're without our starters. This game isn't going the way we wanted to. Let's just, you know, finish this one up and get to the next one. But that's not what they did. Like, to me, that's more impressive than just blowing out the hapless Lakers.
Oh, yeah. I mean, look, what you said, 48 points in the fourth, and, you know, if Wainwright went crazy, Torrey Craig, you know, I mean, in that one point where they didn't score, but then I think they turned the ball over, and he's flying back, and he intercepts that pass and turns over the Clippers, headed back the other way before he fouled out. I mean, Monty coached that group the whole time, and the kid from the kid from Copenhagen got a few hoops too, man. So, but no,
yeah.
You're right. You look at it, Imani coaching until the very end. I mean, he's taking timeouts. And, yeah, I mean, 48 points in the fourth quarter. And I, you know, try to belabor this point to people on my show is that, like, they are the deepest team in the league. And when everybody starts saying, oh, well, depth doesn't matter. You shorten your rotations in the playoffs. I think Monty, and you and I talked about this, and everybody, like I said, after the finals last year when I was on your show, it was everybody's an armchair coach, but to me, like, how you don't play with the season that Campaign had and what he meant to you in the playoffs, like, how you don't give Chris Paul a little bit longer breathers, you know, between third and fourth quarter, maybe, start the fourth quarter with Campaign. Like, I think you have to have faith, A, in your coaching, believe in what you've done, and the bench last night proved that. But you have to have depth, like I was saying with Carolina. I mean, they played six guys. If you have 8 to 9 and they're not just throwing space, you know they can actually produce. The Suns have that. I mean, like you said, I mean, you know, third stringers are not. Look what Aaron Holiday is looking at. He got here at the trade deadline, but still, like, he's looking more comfortable when I see him play. And again, I'm not expecting him to be Chris, to do what Chris Paul does exactly. But, yes, you know, Campaign struggling, you could turn to an Aaron Holiday. But I just can't look at it and be like, you know, it's not more impressive. Like you said, to blow off the hapless Lakers is great because we've heard the excuses all year long. Like, you and I have talked about and everybody's talked about, you know, to which end. But at the same time, like, yeah, coming back from that, those guys playing hard. I mean, when they went on that 15-0 run, and I'm like, wow, 15-0, and they're still down by it. I'm like, yeah, I mean, it could happen. And then They hit a few shots. The Clippers miss. You know, it's like they're right there, and Lonnie's taking time out to, like, the very end. And this team, again, like you said, four-point loss. And, man, I mean, it was. I mean, I was excited in the fourth quarter, I think, as I have been in any Suns game this year.
Yeah, it was the most – I'm not a plus-minus guy, but I find
right.
it funny when you look at the starting five, which is, you know, basically the second five, with the exception of Mikal Bridges. And, you know, he played because he hasn't missed a game. He doesn't want to miss a game, and he only played 22 minutes. But minus 21, minus 32, minus 28, minus 23, minus 32, that was your starting five. But then when you get to the bench, plus 36, plus 22, plus 7, plus 24, plus 30. That means they never stopped. They never once stopped.
Yep.
They just kept coming. So I find that very impressive. And we're going to get into the playoffs more next week. I just wanted to touch on that. The other thing I want to touch on, online with me, the one only Mike Caratino, believe, well, basketball, Tiger Man, one under after the first day. Could we really ask for any more? I mean, you could tell by the fans, by the crowds, they're there to see one guy. There's one guy that's the needle that's moving everything. And he comes in, and right now he's in contention. And as I've said, I'm going to continue to say, you have to be uncomfortable if you're only up 3-4 shots on him and he makes his cut going into the weekend. That's a whole bunch of different choke jobs you have to protect against.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the crowds want to see it. And again, when we first talked about it, when he had the accident, I mean, it's good just to see him obviously be able to walk around and, you know, do stuff with his kids to overstate the obvious on that. It's one of those things where, you know, you see the accident, people are like, oh, when's he going to play again? It's like, really? But, I mean, you knew that the guy had the competitive drive in him to get back. And like you said, the crowds, I mean, I was watching, obviously, I was watching, and, you know, the fact that he's he's what, one under for the day, and the leader, I think, well, double bogeyed last, but he was at six under, but he still shot a 68. He double bogeyed two holes and still shot a 68. That's insane. But for Tiger, like, yeah, I mean, some of the shots he hit when I'm watching, I was
yeah.
like, good God, I'm like, and you can see the wimps there. You can see he's going to get treatment. And I think, you know, when we're talking about, you know, the way to Carolina in basketball in the championship game, you know, if he does make the cut, Paul, which, I mean, it's looking right now, I mean, if he's able to duplicate this round, he'll make the cut for the weekend tomorrow. But, you know, he makes the cut, you know, how's that going to be as he's walking the course? Is that going to take, you know, maybe certain shots away from him that he would normally use before, would like normally not even think twice about and be able to hit? So you could see the limp, I mean, a little bit, just a teeny bit more as he was, you know, finishing up on the back nine and even walking up 18. But, man, if anybody's really tough enough to do it, and you're right, you know, if Tiger's within 3-4 shots, you know, and you're playing with him, and, you know, even if he's on the last crusade in the second to last group, and you know that last group, the leader, all they're doing is looking at, you know, what Tiger's doing too. So it's that mind game and what he's been able to do. But it was good. Like I said, without having Phil there for the first time since 94, Tiger wouldn't have been there. Not that it wouldn't have been a good tournament, but, man, it would have been very, very, very odd, to say the least. So it's good to see him playing good. And, yeah, I mean, I think, well, the guys that had to play the morning with the weather and the wind, too, I will say real quick, I mean, made it trickier. I think the wind will probably stay for the afternoon, but the course, I think, will be better for the afternoon play. So,
yeah,
out a little bit. So, I mean, we'll see what these guys in the afternoon do. But, like, Jordan Spieth was off to a pretty good start. You know, he was, I think he was one under through three. So, it's, weather, as everybody knows, it plays, is always going to be a thing. I guess Sunday, though, is supposed to be the nicest of the day. It's supposed to be, like, 72 and clear there in Augusta. So, I mean, look, the warmer it gets, it fares well because, you know, not that I had anywhere of a horrific injury like Tiger, but I just, you know, was telling people when I broke my leg, and granted it was in third grade, but when the weather was cold, because it happened to me in the fall, and then when I got my cast off, I mean, it was like, it happened in September, and I didn't get my cast off till like right after the new year, like 4 months of wearing a cast, which was miserable. But when it got cold, like, I could feel that in my for a while. So, like, it would just feel like there was, like, a little pain shooting in my leg, even though there was nothing. So the warmer it is, I'm thinking it's also going to be better for Tiger as well. But like I said, he's mentally tough. He's hitting great shots today, pretty much all fairways. Even the few that he hit out of bounds, his, you know, recovery shot, it was just ridiculous. So, like I said, it's fun. And with, you know, no Phil there, if the Masters wouldn't have Phil and Tiger there, I don't know. That would have been a big hit. But the fact that Tiger's there and hanging around, you know, at one under after first round, they kept saying, 520 days or something like that. That's pretty amazing.
Well, let's be honest. The only reason Phil isn't there is because he was a dumbass. So Phil did that one too.
Well, right, but I saw the Masters put yesterday that, you know, since he was obviously a PGA champion and a two-time Masters champion, that he declined the invite. So they didn't say that they didn't, you know, that they revoked anything from him, which, I mean, if they didn't do it, I'm sure they're not going to put it out there, because Phil could easily come back and say that, no, they did not extend it for this and that. So, yeah, I mean, Phil's issue is a thing. I'm just saying, for the Masters in general, not to have those two there the same year. I mean, basically, like I said, it would be the first time since 90. I mean, well, Tiger wasn't there in 94, but when Phil was there since 94, and then Tiger comes on, and it's the 25-year anniversary of him winning in 97. So that's pretty insane, too.
Yeah. Yeah, but Tiger wasn't there because he almost lost the leg. Phil not coming. You know what? I'm sure PGA and Augusta National didn't tell him anything. But you know how this goes. It's like breaking up with your girlfriend, talking badly about her when she really did nothing to you, and then there's a big party. You know she's going to be there. You ain't going because you don't want all that smoke that's going to come with that. Phil talks a lot. I don't know if Phil really likes smoke. You know, he's still a California guy. So he's like, hey, hang loose. What did I say? What did I do? You know what you did. You know what you did. So Phil wasn't making this one. On air with me here on the Cave Show, PLR, coming to you live from the Girls Sponsored Art Tobacco, the one and only Michael Caratino, believe in Pac-12 basketball. Favorite day of the year, Mike? It's opening day. Favorite baseball day? I'm going in with the theory the Diamondbacks go 162-0. No one get me off that because they haven't lost yet.
our friend Greg Moore would be having a field day with you right now, but go on.
So with that being said, we know how last year ended up for the D-backs. Right. We know there wasn't a lot of wholesale changes, and we're not going to break this down to the tear it down to the studs like on flip or flop. But a person in particular I want to ask you about is Mad Bob. He's getting up there in age. He's a starting pitcher, the opening day pitcher, which means he's the number one bullet in the chamber. Do you think he can make it a year and be relatively healthy and have enough, not necessarily help the Diamondbacks make the playoffs, but be competitive? Can he still do this at this age?
Do I think he can be a vet? Short answer, yes, I do. But why I think he'll do it, not that he hasn't taken care of himself before. I mean, we've seen, even before he got to Arizona, we've seen the dominance of his career, what he's been able to do, and how dominant, to reiterate that again, how dominant he's been, he was. So I think, and we've seen flashes from him. So you and I talked about that a little bit last year. Like, I mean, yeah, you get it, like, COVID screwed things up and spring training and guys hurt, but, you know, even though he threw a no-hitter and it didn't count because it was seven innings, which you and I thought was seven completely stupid. But either way, I think he can, but here's the thing, and Diamondbacks fans aren't going to like this. And I'm not saying he's a bad guy. I'm not saying, you know, it's more so like, you know, NBA guys when they're trying to get out or NFL guys if they really want to get out. I think he's calculated and measured, and since, you know, pitchers hardly go past five innings anyway, I think he'd be dominant because around the trade deadline, somebody's going to take on that contract, that same competition that's competing. And again, I do think the Diamondbacks, from what I've seen this spring, again, and it wasn't a bridge spring training, fine. And things that are like little things you pick up on. I think they can be competitive. I mean, I guess I'm not going out on a too crazy one because like, it can't really get any worse than last year, right? So, I mean, it's you look at that, but I do think it can be an improvement. I think Torrey Lavelle's always been a good job, done a good job of having, you know, the pulse of his team and, you know, getting guys to respond and playing well. So I think that they can be competitive. I mean, just with what the Dodgers did and, you know, with the Padres, it's crazy because we all know Tatis is going to be out till probably June. So that's one of those things where you look at it like, okay, if there's ever a time to kind of get a jump on the Padres, you know, the Rockies just give players away and their guys leave, and we'll see what happens with them. The Giants, hey, last year nobody expected them to do anything, and so I'm not going to count them out. So I do think that the D-backs will have their work cut out with them, but if they can get a jump on and the Padres, I think that'll help morale as you build into the summer. And like I said, I mean, having, you know, Matt Bummer as your first, I mean, there could be worse things going off of last year. It's like, well, you know, but I think if he does well enough, the Diamondbacks will still have to pay some of that contract, though, Paul, because I say he's going to be traded, but they're still going to have to pay some of that because no team's taking him on, fully taking that contract. And the other thing, too, is if you're the Diamondbacks, and you know this as well as I do, if they have to take on some of the contract, because if they want to get something, and again, you're not going to get, you know, match it, you know, for return, but if you want to get something way above, you know, way above decent or even in prospects, you're going to have to take on, you're still going to have to pay some of that contract. So to me, I think he does do it. I definitely fully believe he's got the talent to do it. I mean, you know, again, people know what, you know, he did with the Giants in the World Series, and yeah, it was a little bit fast, but even after that, like, this guy is just can mow down batters. And like I said, we've seen glimpses of it here, but I think because he wants to get out of here and probably maybe give a run at a, you know, a World Series this year, because to your point, I mean, look, time is going down. If he doesn't have a good year this year, I mean, I think he's probably, you know, done. done. But it'll be interesting, though. It'll be interesting because if he does do well, you can trade him and you can get out, you know, from under most of that contract. But with what it is, I mean, come on. Unless there's a GM saying, oh, yeah, we'll take everything, the Diamondbacks will be like, thank you, but you're going to get, you know, people are going to, you know, be up in arms because what are you getting in return? Like, you're not going to get anything really in return. And that's something the Diamondbacks, in my case, you can't afford to do when you look at, again, how last season went, how Torrey Lavelle started, you know, his managing tenure here, and he got extended, and to where it's, like, dropped. If you're Mike Hazen, you can't give somebody up and not get, you know, a major league quality, you know, player back in return.
Let me ask you this. There's two questions, but I'm only going to ask you the second one, depending on your answer for the first one, okay?
Okay.
Do the Diamondbacks go and play 500 ball this year? Can they win 81 games?
No, I'm going to say yes. I'm going to say yes.
Okay. Okay, so, and here's why I was going to say two parts. So I'm going to say, if you didn't say no, how many did you think they would win? Considering they went 52 and 110. I don't think they get to 81, and here's why. Their batting average last year was pathetic. Ketel Marte was the only guy that hit over 300. And, I mean, that was near. Pavin Smith, 267. Walter, 259. Christian Walker, 244. And to me, we're talking insanity. We're all the same guys out. So I have a real issue with them being able to hit. But that's a whole other story. So
I see that real quick. I see that, but I think that, you know, I think Peralta, when he's had, in the time he's been here, if he's had been down a little bit, I think him getting off to a fast start, he did show some more good power in spring training. So I think that comes back. I think when, obviously, Nick Ahmed is starting the season on DL. But, you know what, I think I would get to 81. You know, I would say between 80 and 84 wins, I think, is very feasible, but it's really not getting you to the playoffs. But as a Diamondbacks fan, I mean that's very, you know, you're feeling good about going into next year if this team is able to improve by 30 games like we were from last year. So, well, I mean, again, we'll see. But to me, and people say, oh, it's so you make it so simple. It always takes the obvious. I talk about this in my broadcast when I do baseball games. Getting off to a fast start for hitters is so important. You think of your leadoff hitters. You think of, you know, your 3 or 4 hitters. But, like, getting off to that fast start, getting into that rhythm is huge. If you can get off to a good start at some point in the season, we know it's long, you can turn around. And I think the Diamondbacks, again, they have hitters. And, again, you have somebody like Marte that can help pick up the lineup. I think Peralta's that guy, too. When Ahmed gets back into the lineup, I mean, his average has, you know, held steady when he's played a full complement of games. So I look for it. I think they should be cautiously optimistic, but I would be very shocked. And I would say this right now, so I might have to eat crow at the end of the season, my friend, but I'd be very shocked if it was as bad as last year.
All right, well, I'll bring this up for you. Tell everyone where they can check you out at, my friend.
Yeah, I'm going to wrap up another 2 weeks of Believe in Pac-12 basketball, because obviously there's no basketball going on over the summer while they're playing, but not a lot of craziness going on. Plus, it helps me keep up with Paul's favorite thing, the transfer portal, to see where every single AAC player ends up. So I got to keep up with that in the offseason. But, on Twitter, at Diablo00, you can come at me only if you have good points. If you're going to say the Suns aren't a finals team, or that they're the least tier team, or any other stuff you want to say about the Suns, please find me, and I'll just have a good laugh at your expense and send you to my bodyguard, Paul, and he'll smack you up a little bit, too, with his knowledge. So find me on Twitter, Diablo00, Monday and Wednesday night, Sports Arena. Catch it live on Facebook at 7 o'clock here in Arizona. So, and hanging out with this guy, because he's very awesome.
Buddy, I appreciate you, and we will catch up for sure. Thanks for hanging with me today, and have a good weekend, and go D-backs.
Hey, don't forget, yeah, go D-backs. Don't forget, ASU spring game is tomorrow. It's free for everybody to come in and watch the football team. It's been working through the spring looking good. I'm sure Paul will have more on that to pick on me. But spring game tomorrow out at Sun Devil Stadium.
Go check that out, everyone. Get a look at the players, because the good ones will be in the portal on Monday.
All right, buddy.
All right,
buddy. I love you. You're the best.
All right.
I'm out of here. Kill me.
You're the one, only Michael Carantino. That is my guy, 100 grand. Appreciate him joining us today. That's going to wrap it up for us today. This last segment was brought to you by Scout and Seller Wine Consultant Tina Calhoun. Give her a call, 602-410-4821. 602-410-4821. Remember, if you're tired of wine making you feel sluggish because of the additives, preservatives, sugars, all that crap, get with her. Wine done the right way. No additives, no preservatives, none of that crap. Feel good after you have your wine. Tina Calhoun, 602-410-4821. Everyone, it's baseball opening night. Tiger, -1. Suns, best record. Everything is good. That being said, make sure you're following us at The Sports Cave on the Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Cave is with the K. Get me on the Twitter at PLR on Sports. And make sure you're checking us out, if not here live, on Spotify and iHeartRadio. Till next time, this has been The Cave Show with PLR. Tips, bring us home.